على سيدنا واصحاب سيدنا مولانا محمد المبارك وسلم. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله وعلى آلك واصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رحمة للعالمين وعلى آلك واصحابك يا شفيع المذنبين. Alhamdulillah, with the mercy and blessings of Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, we are here in weekly Dars-e-Hadith from Mishkatul Masabih. May Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala enlighten our hearts with the noor of the Hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala grant us the intercession and shafa'at of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the Day of Judgment. So this hadith is from Mishkatul Masih, a very famous book of hadith, and this is Kitabul Iman and the Faslul Awwal, and this is the hadith number 16. Ubada bin Samit radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who is a very famous sahabi, he is the soul of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Wa sallama wa hawlahu isai bai'uni ala an la tushriku billahi shay'a wa la tusriku وَلَا تَسْرِقُوا وَلَا تَزْنُوا وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ وَلَا تَأْتُوا بِبُهْتَانٍ تَفْتَرُونَهُ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَأَرْجُلِكُمْ وَلَا تَعْصُوا فِي مَعْرُوفٍ فَمَنْ غَفَى مِنْكُمْ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ وَمَنْ أَصَابَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ شَيْئًا فَأُوْقِبَ بِهِ فِي الدُّنْيَا فَهُوَ كَفَارَةٌ لَهُ وَمَنْ أَصَابَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ شَيْئًا ثُمَّ سَتَرَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ فَهُوَ إِلَى اللَّهِ إِنْ شَاءَ عَفَى عَنْهُ وَإِنْ شَاءَ عَاقَبَهُ فَبَايَعْنَاهُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ. This hadith is mentioned by Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim. So whenever we say muttafaqun alayh, that means hadith is a very meritorious and very, very authentic. That means the true famous hadith books, Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, both are narrating that hadith. And in this hadith, Ubada bin Samit radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he is the narrator, and he was very famous sahabi. He was, when Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took pledge with Sahaba, the Sahaba did bath in Aqba Ula in Mina. 70 people came from Medina when Prophet was in Makkah, and the circumstances and the situation of Muslims were not very good. So these were the 70 people who came from Medina, and this was also by the teachings of Mus'ab bin Umair radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who was the first qari, muqri, muallim, teacher, muballigh to city of Medina. So by his teaching and his preaching, so those people who accepted Islam, so Ubada bin Samit is one of them. You can see that how tough situation was, that in the daytime, in the daylight, they were not able to see Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that's why they decided at the midnight Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would come and speak to them, and that was a turning point. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when spoke to them, so they said, we will do whatever is concerning Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, what Allah said, we will obey His commands. And O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about yourself, for Allah, for Rasul, we are ready to do everything. So Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when they asked that, what we supposed to do? So Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that what Allah commanded, you have to follow, you have to believe in Allah, you have to worship only one God, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Don't associate anyone besides Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And they said, what are our duties about you? Because they were asking Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to migrate, leave Makkah and come to Medina. So Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, as you protect yourselves, you have to protect myself. As you can sacrifice everything to protect your children, your whole family, so you have to make a promise, you have to take an oath that you will do your best and you will protect and you will do your best at me. They said, we are ready. And this is like deal. If we do that, what we will get? So Prophet ﷺ said, you would get the Jannah. And history proved that they kept their words. And what they said, they proved. At any time, whatever situation was, the Ansar is plural. These are the helpers, the people of Medina. So who helped the believers, who helped Islam, who helped Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he is a narrator, and he was also a very handsome person, and he also participated in Ghazwatul Badr, Ubadah bin Samit radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he was also amongst those who compiled the Quran in one volume. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu also sent him as Qadi and Muallim, as judge and as a teacher to Syria. So he was very well known and very famous Sahabi and a trustworthy Sahabi companion of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he said, once we were sitting with our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba, they were sitting around Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a halaqa. So then Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, are you ready? You are going to do ba'at, taking pledge, taking oath. So that is another meritorious thing. Ba'at is, in general, is like you sell something, trade, aqd. So the ba' which we use for trading, that is aqdul mal, that you give something and you get something. So why this word ba'at is used in Islamic terminology? So the Allama Badruddin Aini, Imam Badruddin Aini, great scholar and Shari of Bukhari, the one who explained the Sahih Bukhari, he said actually there are two things in ba'at, as well as we see in the trade, that you pay something, you give something, and you take something. So there is something to be given, something to be taken. So he said there is the same thing, that the believers, they have to give something, that they would take oath that they would follow the commands of Allah. So this is their part, that they have to do something. And what is in return they would get? So in return they would get the maghfirah and the bakhshish and the jannah from Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And that's what Allah said in the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّةً. That Allah did this trade with believers, with Muslims, that for their life and for their wealth, if they sacrifice both things, their life and their wealth for the sake of Allah, so in return Allah would give them the Jannah. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever it was any important occasion in the Islamic history, or whenever he wanted to give stress on some special teachings, so he did ask his Sahaba, come and do bath on my hands. There is bath al-Islam. Non-Muslim is coming, okay, come. And he is putting his hands in the hands of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. this is something which we can see. And now is Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling Islam, and he is taking shahada on hands of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that is ba'at alal Islam. And there is a very famous hadith, I think you heard before, and I think I mentioned it before, about a sahabi that is also in Sahih Muslim. When he came and he wanted to take shahada, and he stretched out his hand, I am ready to take shahada. So when Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam put his hand like this, so he put his hand back, stretched back. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "What is that? You came to accept Islam and you said you want to take shahada and now you are taking your hands back." He said, "Uridu an astarif. I want to put some conditions." So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Maza tashtarif? What are your conditions?" Like he is saying that he wants something in return. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "What do you want?" He said, "An yughfar li, that Allah forgive me. I will take shahada, I will accept Islam on this condition, if my previous sins are forgiven." So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Don't you know that al-Islam yahdimu ma kana qabla, wal-Hajj yahdimu ma kana qabla, wal-Hijrah tahdimu ma kana qabla?" That Hajj and Islam and Hijrah, migration, all these three acts, if somebody is doing with sincere heart, so his all previous sins are forgiven. And the person is just like a newborn baby. So that's why it is very important that we have to see that this ba'at in Islam, it has some importance. And Allah also mentioned in Quran, there is ba'at alal imara. When Islamic Amir or leader is chosen, so we have to take pledge, a do ba'at, like accepting him as our leader, and we are saying that we will follow your commands. So that is ba'at alal imam. And there is another ba'at, like ba'at of istirshad, to seek guidance, like a person who was sinful. He committed many sins and now he want to be a righteous person, and he is going to a sheikh, a religious scholar, the one who is a learned person, the one who is righteous person, the one who is following the Quran and Sunnah, not the one who is doing anything against the Quran. So on his hand the person repents and he is making a promise that I would do my best to follow the Sharia and Islam and Quran and Sunnah, and I will try my best to be on right track. And that person is like Hadi, our guide, the one who is guiding and taking him towards the right. So that's what we see, especially in our countries, that the people say, I did bath on this sheikh. So that is in that sense. So that has some you can wage and some references in Quran and Hadith, as Allah said in Quran that إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُبَايِعُونَكَ إِنَّمَا يُبَايِعُونَ اللَّهِ يَدُ اللَّهِ فَوْقَ أَيْدِهِ. That once the Sahaba, they did bath on Prophet's hand, so Allah said, those who are doing bath with you, O Muhammad, they are doing bath with Allah. That promising with Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or giving words to Prophet, that means you are giving directly words to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So you have to keep your words. Right? So Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is giving so much importance and honor to this ba'at of Sahaba with Prophet. And there is another time when the treaty of Hudaybiyah, Sulah Hudaybiyah, took place. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is under the tree. What's called babul kikar, kya kahenge, oak tree, right? So under the tree he's sitting and he's taking the pledge, ba'at. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala mentioned in Quran, laqad radiyallahu anil ladina iz yubayi'unaka tahta shajar. As nowadays we make a video and we keep something as a memory, so Allah is putting that situation and that incident in the wordings of Quran, that Allah is happy, Allah is radi Allah is happy with those, O Muhammad, who are taking pledge with you under that tree. So this tells that there is some value. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to his sahaba, come. So what is this badge for? Take pledge, take oath, make a promise, what you will do and what you will not do. So the first thing what Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah tushriku billahi shay'a. Don't commit shirk. Don't associate anyone with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Do not worship beside Allah tabarak wa ta'ala anyone else. So this is the first basic foundation and principle of Islam, that we do not worship anyone but Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. We even do not worship Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We worship Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And that is called Tawheed or Wahdaniyya. So that is the utmost required thing, that we should worship only and only Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So Prophet is taking this pledge. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is taking, putting stress on these words. And wala tasrukhu. And number two, you will not steal anything. Stealing is haram. Now, robbing, stealing, or taking someone's stuff, it's haram. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so he's also giving the spiritual guidance and the moral and things which are related in our practical life. So his Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is giving us the guidance. So he said that you will not steal anything. So stealing is haram in Islam. And if someone is stealing, so that causes the problem and disturbance in the community. So if there is no stealing, people would have peace of mind. They are not scared or anything is being happened or somebody is going to rob me or this and that. So people are very they are in comfort and living with peace and harmony. So that's why stealing is haram in Islam. Then wala taznu, and you will not commit zina. That is the wrong sexual relation. It is because that also creates troubles and problems in the society, in the community. Because those children who are born illegally, who would take care of them? They would miss the love of parents, and who will take care of them? So there are a lot of issues and a lot of problems. That's why Islam made it haram and Islam permitted. If somebody wants to get married, so there is a way, make nikah. Right? So that's why Islam, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, in our community, in our society, this thing would not be done. Wrong sexual relation should be prohibited. وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ, and you will not kill your children. It doesn't mean that you kill other children. That is called مَفْهُوم مُخَالِف in the term of fiqh. So لَا اِعْتَبَارَ لِمَفْهُومٍ مُخَالِفٍ, that in Islamic fiqh, مَفْهُوم مُخَالِف is not recognized, it's not permitted. That means you cannot kill anyone, because especially that time they were killing their own children, especially the daughters. So that Islam is saying don't do that. It doesn't mean that you go other way. Right? So killing your children, as Allah said, لَا تَقْتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ لَاقْ نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُهُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ, that don't kill your children. They were killing because they were thinking of who would feed them. Where would we get the food? Where we will get this? Where we will get that? So that's why they were killing when they born. So they were killing their children. So Allah said, we provide food to them and we provide food to you. So rizq is from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. It's not you are the one who would provide. It's Allah. Allah is the one who is providing the food and the basic necessities. And if you see the family plannings a literature or the mission what is very active nowadays, basically they have the same idea. If there is some other reason, medical reason or some other reason, that is case. But the mostly it is only because of this. You are thinking, oh, if there would be too many population, too many people, who would give them job, where they will stay, how they will eat, this. So this thinking is wrong. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I would be proud before other prophets because of the kathra, because of the majority of my ummah. Because my ummah would be in abundance. And I would speak high before other nations, other ummahs, other nabi, other prophets, that my followers are much more than yours. So that's why this is something which our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam liked, right? So this is very important. And then he said, وَلَا تَأْتُوا بِبُهْتَانٍ تَفْتَرُونَهُ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَأَرْجُلِكُمْ. And do not make buhtan. Buhtan is another sin. You accuse someone that someone did not do anything. Like the person, he did not make a mistake. And you are just blaming him when he is not there, in his absence. And you are saying, oh, that person did this. Because when Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told Sahaba about the ghiba, namima, ghibat, chugli, the backbiting. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it's haram, we should not do it. So the Sahaba, iyakum wal ghiba. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it's haram, beware of it. So the Sahaba, they said, O Allah's Messenger, if that mistake or that defect is in that person, so Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if that defect or that problem or that accusation, whatever you are blame, you are saying, if that is in that person, then this is ghibah. And if that is not in that person, then that is buhtan. And that is more bigger sin. And unfortunately, this is a common habit nowadays in our society, that people, they just accuse, they just blame other people, and they just say something which even the person does not know that. And they are saying, oh, that person said this to you, and he said this, and that create so much trouble and problem in the community, in the society, in the nation. And then many people, they are feeling the discomfort, and they are facing too many problems because of this sin. So that's why some people say, yeah, I can say on his face. So why don't you say on his face? Mostly, what is the ghiba or backbiting? That you are mentioning about some brother or some sister, that if you mention that thing before him, that person dislike it. So that is called ghiba. That is called namima. That is called chughli. And that is haram, backbiting in Islam. وَلَا يَقْتَبْ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. Allah said in Quran that don't do the ghiba of anyone. أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدَكُمْ أَن يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُ. Would you like to eat the flesh of your, it's like you are eating the flesh of your dead brother. So this is a common thing that people, wherever they are sitting, whenever they get any a party or gathering, tar or ghibah. So that's Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, don't do that. Why? Because that creates problem and trouble in the community. And especially what you make your own and then you blame someone else. And in some cases, if someone is blaming someone and the one who blamed, if he cannot prove, so then there is qazaf, there is a had. That person would be given Islamic punishment. Have you said that person, Mr. A, have done this, and you could not prove it? Then in some cases, you have to be given some punishment that is called had of qazaf. Right? So it is very serious. Right? And some people they accused Sayyida Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, the wife of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ummul Mu'mineen, the mother of believers. They said she did this, she did, and that was just a false story. And then Allah revealed some verses in Surah Nur, in Quran, and Allah said she is pure and she is clean. And those who said this, Allah said they are lying, and then they were given punishment. That is called the qazf. Right? So it is very important. And then Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Wala ta'su fi ma'rufin," and don't disobey in good deeds. Ma'ruf and munkar, they are two things. The good deeds in Islam are known as ma'ruf. Any good thing which you are doing for community, anything you are doing for humanity, anything which is getting you closer towards Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, worshipping Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So all good are in the word of ma'ruf. It's a very comprehensive word. And the opposite of ma'ruf is munkar, which is haram, which is forbidden, which is prohibited, which is not allowed in Islam. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because why? If you have a leader and leader is saying do this, and if that thing is haram in Islam, then you cannot follow, you cannot listen to him. لا تعطى مخلوق في معصية الله. That for any makhluk, if they are making any law or they are saying do this and that is against the command of Allah, we cannot listen to them. Even your own parents. Parents have too much respect. We have to respect them. We have to love them. We have to listen to them. We have to obey them. But if they are saying something which is against the Quran, what Allah said do this and parents are saying no, do that. So then we would have to listen to what Allah tabarak wa ta'ala said. But still we will not disrespect the parents. Still, humbly we can tell them that no, because of this, Allah said this, and I am following the command of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So then Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you do all these things, فَمَنْ وَفَى مِنْكُمْ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ, the one who did wafa, the one who kept his words, the one who is true in his ba'ath, taking pledge, and he did what he said and he performed those duties. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said his ajr is on Allah. Allah would provide him the ajr. Allah would give him the reward. Allah would give him the blessings. The one who is following these things what Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. وَمَنْ أَصَابَ مِنْ ذَٰلِكَ شَيْئًا فَأُوْقِبَ بِهِ فِي الدُّنْيَا فَهُوَ كَفَّارَةٌ لَهُ. And if someone of you, because of shortcomings, had committed or had made a mistake or done one of these sins, except the shirk, because shirk is not forgiven until you repent. So except the shirk, all other which were described here, if someone was involved in those sins like stealing or wrong sexual relation, killing someone or accusing someone or backbiting, so all these things, if somebody made these mistakes, so Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said فَأُوْقِبَ بِهِ فِي الدُّنْيَا, and he was given punishment in dunya. In Islamic law there are punishment which are known as hudud and tazirat, the Islamic punishments. And Islamically, if they are punished in this dunya, so that is the kafara, that is the ransom of that punishment. This is another very sensitive discussion between the Islamic scholars and ulama, that if someone who made some mistake and had was jari, had was implemented on that person, whether person is forgiven, he is clean, or he would still get punishment in akhirah. So this is a very sensitive discussion. According to Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, he said that the hudud is kafara only when the person makes tawbah. If the person repents and he is also given punishment, repenting, tawbah, and plus the punishment, then person is clean. In akhirah, that person would not get the punishment. You got it? Like for some reason, by mistake, somebody killed someone, or somebody was accused for stealing or some other thing, and he was given Islamic had and punishment. So this is the question, after the punishment, the person is clean, or the person still has the burden of sin. Right? So the ulama said, if the person, he makes tawbah, he repents. In dunya, of course, he had been given the punishment. After the punishment, you are free. You are clean. Right? But in akhirah, in hereafter, if the person had made the tawbah, then he is forgiven. If the person did not make tawbah, then he is not forgiven. وَمَنْ أَصَابَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ شَيْئًا ثُمَّ سَتَرَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ فَهُوَ إِذَا اللَّهِ إِنْ شَاءَ عَفَا عَنْهُ وَإِنْ شَاءَ عَاقَبَهُ. And if person committed some of these sins, or one of these sins, except the shirk, and nobody knew it, Allah kept his secret. There are people who made mistakes, and Allah kept his secret. So Prophet ﷺ said, then it's up to Allah in akhirah. If he wishes, if he wills, he will forgive. If he wills, if he wants to punish, he can punish. Here is another discussion, a huge discussion, between the Mu'tazila. The Mu'tazila, that was a sect, that was a group which is not existing anymore now. Maybe some minor sects or groups, they have some influence or some of the thinking of Mu'tazila. Because Mu'tazila said, the person who committed a kabira, kabair, there are sins, kabira and sagira. They said the one who had committed a kabira sin, the major sin, he, Allah would have to put him in hellfire. So in aqeedah of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the creed of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, there is no obligation at all on Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. There is nothing wajib on Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. This is the aqeedah of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. If you do good deed and Allah give you a reward, and if you make a mistake and Allah forgives your mistake, this is the fadl of Allah. This is grace of Allah. You cannot say that I did good deeds so I deserve the reward, now I should be given this reward. So there is nothing wajib on Allah. You got the point? So whenever you do good deed, you made a mistake and you ask for forgiveness and Allah forgives it, so that is the fadl of Allah. And if the person is a disbeliever, is a kafir, and he dies without tawbah, he would go to hellfire. This is the adl, justice of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. There are two things, fadl of Allah and adl of Allah. But still no one can force Allah that you have to do this, you have to do. If Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, for some reason, the person who committed the kabira, the one who committed the major sins, if Allah wishes, he wants to forgive him, enter him Jannah directly, he can still do that. But what is the qanun, what is his ada, what is a general rule? He would be given some punishment in hellfire, then he would be taken to the Jannah, paradise. You got the point? Mm-hmm. So this is the aqeedah of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Or some of the Khawarij, they also have the same idea that the person who commits the kabira, kabair, is out of Islam. So aqeedah of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the person who committed a mistake or sin, he is still a Muslim, but he is a sinful person. If he repents, if he makes tawbah, then there is a hope that the person would be forgiven. If the person is not making tawbah, and he died, but he died as a Muslim, there is still chance that person would be forgiven on the day of judgment, maybe with the rahmah of Allah, or maybe with the shafaat of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or maybe after some punishment in hellfire. You get the point? So when Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said these things, and this is also important, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whole ummah is also authentic hadith in Bukhari. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, my whole ummah is forgiven, illa al-mujahirin. My all ummah is forgiven, except the one who is showing off. So the Sahaba asked, who is showing off? So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the person for some reason who had shortcomings and he committed some sin or some mistake at the night, and Allah had satr, Allah covered him up, nobody knew it, but in the day, next day, he is telling everybody, I did this sin, I did this, I did this, I did this. So Prophet said that person would not be forgiven, because when Allah covered him, so why is, because telling your sin to another person, that is another sin, because you are encouraging other to commit the same sin, right? So for some reason, what we say in Urdu, shamati amal or shortcomings, because you couldn't have control and for some reason you made that mistake or that sin was done with you, so why you are telling and propagating that? Right. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, my all ummatis are forgiven except the one who telling other people about his sins. So that is very important. So then Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, and also for other people, there is satrul mu'min, that is also one of the meritorious thing, but that applies in minor things, not in a activities that person, he kills someone and we know something and we conceal. No, it's minor shortcomings if we know related to someone and we conceal it, that we should not disclose his information because that person might be humiliated. So that, for that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, man satara musliman satarahu Allahu yawm al-qiyamah. If you cover up Muslim brother or sister for his mistake in this dunya, when you know you can disclose his personal thing and you don't, so Allah would cover up you on the day of judgment. So that is, that applies to minor or things which are not related to other human beings. If we knew that he stole someone's stuff, then we say, no, we will conceal, we are covering him up. No, now we are helping in ithm and in udwan and in disobedience of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. In that case, we cannot do that. وَلَا تَكْتُمُ الشَّهَادَةَ وَمَنْ يَكْتُمْهَا فَإِنَّهُ آثِمُ الْقَلْبُ. And if you are witness and you knew that somebody did something wrong and you were being asked, so you have to be a witness and you have to tell the truth. Now you cannot conceal. But in general, if someone have some mistake, so minor mistakes, so we should not propagate or project. Like some brother who even knew to how to pray or how to make wudu, and we observe, and if we are really well wishers, we tell him directly, brother, this is the way. We are not telling him and we announce in 30 people or whole community, we tell, oh, that person was doing wudu and he didn't know how to make wudu, and that person is this, this, this. So that is not appropriate thing, and that is something which is not approved by the Sharia or Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So then Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the narrator said, فَبَايَعْنَاهُ عَلَىٰ ذَلِكَ. So we did this ba'at with the hands of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We took this pledge and we said, O Allah's Messenger, we take this responsibility. And they all had done their best and they kept their words and they followed the commands what Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had given in these wordings or this hadith. So I pray to Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala that Allah also guide us to the right path And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala make us a true believer. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant us shafaat and intercession of beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of judgment. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Any question?
Qadir sir, you mentioned who is the person who can apply that? Because what happened in Sawah?
Amir al-Islam, the one or the Islamic Sharia is implemented. The question is saying who can apply that hadood or tazirat. So it's not that anyone, if you had seen somebody stealing something and you take him and you give him punishment and this, the police or authorities come and you say you applied the Islamic law. No. Who can nafiz, who can implement these commands of Sharia? Only the one who has authority. Yeah. So Amir al-Mu'mineen are the one who is in control. They can do that. Any other question?
This is related to Hukuk al-Adad. In Islam, there is Hukuk al-Adad and Hukuk al-Adad.
Right.
When somebody makes such how do you make relief out of that?
Yeah, it's very important. There's classification of Hukukullah and Hukukul Ibad. Hukukullah, if you repent and you ask Allah for forgiveness, Allah would forgive directly. But if any sin which is related to Hukukul Ibad with other person, so that sin is not forgiven until that person that you did wrong to that person, until that person forgives you. Allah would say, I would not forgive until that person forgives you. If he forgives you, then I would forgive you. So in that case, the person is very tough that you have to go directly to that person and tell him that I did ghiba, ghibat, chugli, namima, a backbiting of you and so there with so I ask you to forgive me. Or you not tell all the details because you are going to make him offended. So just tell him, brother, whenever I made any namima or backbiting about you, I am asking you to forgive me. If that person is not living in that town or you cannot meet him again or that person is dead, so then the best thing is you keep making dua of maghfirah for that person, that Allah forgive that person and make his salih sawab for that person. So hopefully then inshallah that would be forgiven. If you are repented, you made tawbah, and your tawbah is a true tawbah, sincere tawbah.
आपने बताया कि जो तीन चीजें इंसान करता है उसके पास के तमाम जो है गुनाह माफ हो हज करने से इस्लाम को दूर करने से और एक आपने
हिजरत
करने उसमें गुनाह कबीरा भी माफ हो जाता
है ये दिस इज अ वेरी ह्यूज डिस्कशन He is saying that what I said that Hajj and Hijrah and Islam removes the previous sins. Of course, Islam removes all the previous sins, no question. That is, there is no discussion. Even some of the ulama, they said, even the if a new Muslim, the one who is entering in the fold of Islam, he is just like newborn baby. His all sins are forgiven. Not only sins are forgiven, plus he would carry his all good work with him. That would also be given weight and value and reward, whatever he had the good deeds, right? But for the Hajj and for the Hijrah, so the majority of scholars said the Kabair, the Kabira or major sin is not forgiven until the person repents, until the person makes Tawbah. And some ulama, they had taken this hadith on Zahir. They said, no, when Prophet ﷺ said, all sins are forgiven, yes, all sins are forgiven. So they take on that one. But the asah, or the most authentic answer is that it is beyond the qualities or behavior of a mu'min that he ever had committed any sin and he is sitting and he is not repenting. یہ مومن کی شان کے خلاف ہے کہ مومن سے کوئی گناہ ہو جائے اور وہ توبہ نہ کرے it is against the dignity of a mu'min. The mu'min thinks, a true believer, when he committed any sin, like he thinks that a big mountain is on my head and is going to kill me. And that's why a mu'min always rushes to make repentance and tawbah. And when he makes tawbah, repents, so then that is forgiven.
Like a lot of burden.
Yeah.
What is the kind of vibration? What is the nature of the hijrah that could
In Islam, hijrah means if you are in a city or town where you cannot practice your religion openly. And because of that, you are now leaving that town and moving another town where you have freedom and protection and you can practice your religion with freedom and with all applicable things.
So coming from Pakistan is doesn't consider hijrah.
No. This is immigration.
Immigration is better.
Yeah, there's hadith, la hijrah ba'd al-fath. However, some ulama have taken those words to the special concern about, because it was not permitted for a believer to live in Mecca when Prophet was in Medina. When Prophet was in Medina, and Islam was very weak in Mecca, so it was an obligation for every Muslim. It was fard. They had to leave Mecca and they had to come to Medina. Right? So because when Prophet ﷺ conquered the Mecca, so now he is making it clear, La hijrata ba'd al-fath, that like the people of Mecca, no problem, now you can stay here in Mecca. That's the context. So even then, in nowadays, if in some town or some city or some country the Muslims are compelled or forced or they are not allowed to practice their religion, they can still migrate and they can leave one town and go to another town to protect and to practice their religion. That is the context. However, there is ikhtilaf between ulama in this issue.
Sishkana!
Ya Allah. That's it? Ji. Yeah.
So what happens if someone dies and like their sin is greater than their deeds? So first they will get punished and they will go to Jannah.
Yeah. For a believer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, for a believer. If they committed some sins, so they would be given punishment.
Right.
And then Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala with His mercy, He would forgive them and they would be entered in Jannah. Because the one who has Iman, the believer, however how much sins he committed, at the end, finally, his final destination or abode would be the Jannah, heaven. But that does not mean we keep saying, okay, keep committing sins and doing bad things, finally we will go to Jannah. Who knows how many years, and how tough is the fire of hell, and the punishment and torment of the hellfire. So that's why we should do our best, and that's what Prophet ﷺ said, do your best to do good deeds, and then depend on the mercy of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Always ask Allah that, oh Allah, we need your mercy, your fadl. Never ask Allah, we need adl. Adl means justice. Never say we need justice. As a hadith in Mishkat, a person who worshipped for 500 years and he was living in an island in the middle of the ocean, in an island, small island, and he worshipped Allah for 500 years. And when he died, so he made dua that Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, when I die, so give me death when I am in sajda, in prostration. And Allah accepted his dua. For 500 years, so there was a spring water, what he was drinking, and he made dua, and Allah created one palm grenade, anar, rumman tree. So he was eating that fruit and drinking water, and 500 years, no mistake, no sin at all. Prophet ﷺ said, when that person would come on the day of judgment to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, and is the angels would say, come on, we see what you have, and to the mizan, the balance, to see your good deeds. So he would be like proud and he said, oh, what you saying? Go ahead, I have done a lot of things, like being very proud. And then it would be said to him that take him to Jannah with the mercy of Allah, like a favor. This is favor of Allah, you are given Jannah. So he would say, why? It's not a favor, that's what I deserve. I worshipped for 500 years, so I deserve Jannah. And you are saying with the mercy of, no, I'm not going by the tip, with this tip you are sending me Jannah. No, I deserve that. So then Allah would command the angels, bring him back. And he would brought back, and then Allah would say, put only that one ni'mah, the two eyes. How many ni'mah are the favors of Allah we have? So Allah would say, put these two eyes on one side of the mizan, on the balance, and the 500 years worship on other part of the mizan. So then 500 years worship would not be able to compensate the two ni'mah of eyesight, or the eyes which Allah had given to us. And then Allah would say, the angel would be given this command, take him to hellfire with my adl. Because you could not compensate only the two eyes, then whole body is still there. And then he would say, no, oh Allah, I ask you to forgive me, send me to Jannah with your mercy. I don't want adl, I want fadl. So then Allah would ask him, who gave you life? He would say, you, Ya Rab. Allah would say, that who had given you tawfiq to worship me? He would say, Allah, you. And Allah would say, who created that spring water and that fruit tree for you? He would say, Ya Rab, you have done that. And Allah said, who had taken your soul while you were in sajda? Well, Allah, you. So then everything was done by my mercy and my wisdom. So then why you are proud? And Allah would say, take him to heaven with my mercy. And this hadith, that Prophet hadith in Bukhari, Prophet said, none of you would enter Jannah with your amal. It doesn't mean that we stop amal. No, here he is telling that never be proud of amal. He said, none of you would go to Jannah with your deeds. So the Sahaba said, even you, Ya Rasulullah? Sahaba never asked such a cross question. But here, they were shocked. They said, even you? He said, yes, illa yataghammadani rahmata rabbi. Yes, even me, I will go with the mercy of my Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So we should make dua of fadl of Allah, rahmat of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. That is the success. Because al-imanu bayna al-khawfi bar-raja. Iman is between fear and hope. Both. Fear and hope. If you take one thing, like the bird is flying with two wings. Fear and hope. If you have fear, you don't have hope, you are gone. If you have hope and you don't have fear, then you are making mistakes. So fear and hope, everything. That's why Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, if on the day of judgment, Allah would say, it was announced that only one person is being thrown in hellfire, and all human beings are forgiven and entered in Jannah. So he thought, when I have the khawf, the fear, I think that is me. And when I look upon the mercy and rahmah of Allah, if on the day of judgment Allah would say, all will go to hellfire and one will go to Jannah, I hope that is me. This is hope. That much hope I have. And that is the fear what I have. And he is from Ashra Mubashra, the 10 who were given the guarantee and the degree of Jannah in dunya. So that is important. So that's why, you see the hadith what I told in Friday khutbah, Prophet ﷺ made dua, Allahumma inni as'aluka sihatan fi iman. Sihatan fi iman. O Allah, I ask you, give me health with iman, not without iman. Good health, but with iman, with Islam. If no Islam, no iman, health, wealth, everything is nothing. Allahumma inni as'aluka sihatan fi iman wa imanan fi husni khuluq. And give me iman with good akhlaq. Akhlaq-e-hasana. makarim al akhlaq. Iman with good conduct, with good behavior. So we have to work on this to protect our iman. So all what we're doing, as I explained before, this dars, we come to Jummah speech, we come to perform the prayer, we come to read Quran, we come to Sunday school. All these activities are way of protecting our iman. The building of iman, the light or the candle of iman that we have in our heart. So there is a strong wind or thunder is coming. Hurricane is coming. And we have to do something to keep this candle on, lightning with the light of hope, with the light of iman, with the light of faith. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq, and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant us intercession of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are so many questions on online internet, so I'm not going to deal with them. So I apologize. Inshallah, next time I'm always with you, so you can get me whenever I'm online, so I can answer those questions. After that, once again, I pray for all of those who are here, and especially those who are leaving for Umrah. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala accept their Umrah, and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala bless our community. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Let's make dua. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم إنا نجعلك في نحورهم ونعوذ بك من شرورهم. اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان, اللهم ثبتنا على الإسلام, اللهم ثبتنا على صوال منكر ونكير. اللهم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على طاعتك يا رب العالمين. اللهم ارزقنا شفاعة نبيك الكريم. اللهم اصلح لنا ديننا ودنيانا يا رب العالمين. اللهم ارزقنا شفاعة نبيك الكريم. اللهم ارزقنا زيارة الحرمين الشريفين يا رب بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين برحمتك يا رب العالمين.